uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being late with us and staying up late with us and being here late night with us, Moonbats. We had some technical issues earlier with the server, and it was being unresponsive to the stream. On my end, yet it seemed to still be going through the playlist and playing stuff off the stream, even though I then couldn't get anything to stream live out of the stream, and nothing's changed since last night. Just one of those weird ghost in the machine type thing. Mud Puppy in the chat room said gremlins. Yeah, combination of gremlins and ghosts in the machine and everything else is technology. It very rarely works when you want it to, but anyway I just figured you guys would appreciate a live show regardless how late it was. So I was like, fuck it, I'm up, I'm awake. There's no sense in stopping to show there, although there was not a lot of material today, so we almost didn't do a show at all. But then it's kind of one of those things where once stuff started happening where it looked like, you know, it seemed like it was going to be out of my hands for me to have one, then I was more determined, to do a show after that happened. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of news. We got some news stories here, not a lot. It won't take us long to get through them tonight. And we'll get into Lost Book of Inky for you tonight. You can send in emails tonight as well. But anyway, there's just not a lot of material. So I was thinking maybe not doing a show tonight anyway. And then, you know, stuff starts going wrong with the streams. I'm like, okay, well, fuck it then. You know, you guys done pissed me off now. I've got to do a show. I have no choice. So there you go. Thanks for staying up late with us tonight. 21st into the 22nd, Thursday now into Friday, 2011, right here for you on the Global Reality Radio Network. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. And if you'd like to send in emails to the show tonight for me to talk about, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. So sorry we're getting all late start here tonight, but it's actually good. I mean, I'm not going to keep you up much later than I normally do in any other night, Moonbat. So flap them and get some coffee brewing and get ready. But I still, no matter how late it is, I'd love to have your participation. Love to have emails. If you have questions, stuff you want to hear me talk about during the show, don't be afraid to send in stuff in the middle of the show, because as long as the show's not over, I will definitely still get into your email during the show. So globalrealityshow@gmail.com. globalrealityshow@gmail.com is my email address. Chat room is open as well for your chatting convenience. If you'd like to join the rest of the late night Moonbat crowd in the chat room, enter at your own risk. You newbies out there, new listeners we brought in. New listeners we brought in from Red Ice. We've had a lot of new listenership lately due to that show. Seems so far to have reached an astounding amount of people, which is, I'm grateful for. Thanks to everybody who made that happen. It's really rad. But so just judging by the amount, again, I wish the financial support equaled the amount of listenership we had. My goodness gracious, we would be doing all right. But the amount of new listeners, new people I've been hearing from, the amount of hits my YouTube videos are getting, it's insane. So it's definitely reached a lot of people. And I've heard, you know, a lot of really good positive stuff back so far. I don't know. I'm very rarely anymore am I hearing, hearing people really gripe about the information. It used to be some of the stuff you'd bring up. Oh yeah, this, that, the other, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But now, you know, people are actually getting mature and figuring out that there are elements of this stuff that are important to talk about, even though the intelligentsia of the Truth and Patriot movement want to tell you not to. And I think that's amazing that we've been contacted by so many people so far who have said that. Like, for instance, the gentleman whose email we read last night, the Geomantic guy, Court Lindahl, yeah, he sounded as if, you know, he's trying to turn people on to some of this information, showing it points to the Vatican, and then people just don't want to hear it, you know. That's proof right there. Got a follow-up email. Last night, I read an email on the show from a guy who was talking about Zachariah Sitchin and this kind of stuff, and I had to explain my position on that, that I'm not endorsing his work and that kind of stuff. And I think he might, because he's probably new listening to the show, and I can come across kind of harsh sometimes. First off, John, I didn't mean to come off harsh on the show last episode. I just come off that way. That's just the way I am. I'm not meaning any disrespect to you or anger towards you or anything else. I want to be clear about that. I'm wishing you nothing but love. So I have no reason to wish you nothing but love. So, but I sort of went off from that, you know, topic and went off into the discussion of the ad hominem attack thing versus bringing contrary information to the table. But that part when I was talking about the ad hominem attack thing and people not, you know, going after somebody, the person, instead of going after the information, I was not directing that at the listener, John, who sent the email. And so, John, I want to be clear about that. It was not directed at you. No harm, no foul, buddy. No hard feelings or anything like that. It was just part of my rant. I know you just started listening to the show in the past week, and so I appreciate you tuning in. Don't want to lose you as a listener this soon. I might lose you eventually once you start hearing me talk about some of the shit I talk about, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But no, he sent an email back to clarify, so I appreciate that. John says, hello, Josh. Thanks for touching on the subject about Sitchin. This was not an ad hominem attack. I think we should research and look at the ancient writings, and in doing so, we need to find credible researchers to help us on this path. If you would have looked at the site, and I recommend that you would have found out that Sitchin was not an ancient language scholar and made many errors in his translation of these texts. I understand that's one of the theories or things that's put forward, but that also revalidates the theory and the thing that I was talking about last night about how they put these guys out there that are easy to discredit. Sitchin was easy to discredit because of that fact. They did the same thing, man. You got to understand, John, I got my start. I cut my teeth on conspiracy stuff with Kennedy. That's what got me into all of this. When I was in high school, I read Jim Marsh Crossfire. Right after that, the Oliver Stone adaptation of that book came out. And so that was kind of a 1-2 punch for me. And I'd already been researching UFOs and stuff like that as a youngster. But I mean, really, literally, I was researching UFOs and stuff like that in third grade, ladies and gentlemen. I've been into this for a long time. It's no bullshit. My dad used to always laugh at me because I always bring home these UFO books and shit, you know, and he was into that. He's kind of into that stuff too. So he'd always check it out with me and stuff. And he'd always, you know, hey man, did you find any more alien books at school? You know, I'd always bring that stuff home. I cut my teeth on Kennedy. So, there's a guy, he's actually in my film. Robert Groden is his name. He's in my, 9/11 film I made back in 2007, 9/11 New World Rising. And we interviewed him for the film because he used to work at the World Trade Center Tower. He also he's the guy in Dealey Plaza that sells books, conspiracy books down there. He sued the city and got the right to do it. He is Jewish. He was on the House, the subcommittee hearings for assassinations back in the 70s. And he was also brought in as an eyewitness or as an expert witness in the O.J. Simpson trial. Now, it just seemed kind of odd to me, you know, why Grodin, why him out of all these people they bring in as some photographic expert on the O.J. Simpson trial in his defense? Well, pretty soon it comes out that Robert Grodin has no degree or anything like that. Like that matters. I mean, you know, the bullshit things, you have to have a degree in something to be an expert on it. That's horseshit. I'm an expert in a lot of things. I'm not a fucking, I don't got a piece of paper for it. What does that mean? That's a societal construct, dude. You need to break that down a little bit. Move past these societal constructs. I mean, that's a lame as you. Sitchin was not, I'm not defending Sitchin. I think he's a clown. But what I'm saying is, you're throwing at me an example of a information. See, I'm an expert at this. I had to wade through all this stuff with Alex Jones. See, that's the whole thing is, just because I expose things that Alex Jones does and says and his affiliations doesn't mean that I'm on board with all these kooks and crazies who just make shit up about the guy. There are a lot of people out there that just make shit up about Alex Jones. It's flat not true. And that attempts to poison the well for guys like me and Lee Rogers and others who actually bring forward legitimate questions about the guy. But because of these other crackpots, we're automatically... So my point is that you had Robert Grodin, and he was completely discredited during the O.J. Simpson trial, completely, because he was brought in as a photographic witness, and the prosecution brought out evidence that he was not an expert in photography. They did the same exact thing to David Hatcher Childress. They drug his name through the mud because he wrote books on archaeology and ancient archaeology that pertained to ancient aliens. And then I don't remember exactly what the case was, but they brought something out and said, well, he's not really an archaeologist. He doesn't have a degree in archaeology, so he can't call himself an archaeologist, even though, you know, he's going out to ancient sites and digging stuff up. See, it's this perception that you can't call yourself something without having the official paper that says you paid thousands of dollars to get it to some college or school or something, you see? So I need a little bit more than that. You know, Sitchin was an ancient language scholar. Well, okay. Einstein was a fucking Swiss patent clerk. My point is that, can you bring evidence to the table that is contrary to the information? Again, I'm not defending Sitchin or not. What I mean is that, you know, you're saying I should look into this. Sitchin is wrong. So I've heard all this stuff 7 Ways to Sunday, but again, you're trying. I explained this very clearly last night. And I'm getting kind of agitated. I started out being a nice guy, but now more I'm reading this email, more I'm getting kind of agitated. Because the more I feel like I'm kind of being goaded into taking this conversation back to the place he tried to take it to in the first. I feel like he took it, you know, okay, look, I explained this last night. You're trying to take this to a conversation about Sitchin. I'm saying it doesn't fucking matter about him. That's what I said on the show last night. Who gives a fuck? Yeah, let's say he's a plant, not an language expert and all this other stuff. Okay, fine. That still does not make the point I made last night on the show. Go back and listen to last night's show, and I made it very clear in there that I am reading this so that maybe we can gain something from it, not because it is absolute in-stone fact or I'm a Sitchin fan or I agree with him or anything else. And I know that's mind-blowing for you, John. I know that I do things a little differently than you're used to over here because you're not used to listening to somebody who talks like me and does a radio show in this style, and it's a little strange for you. It's a new experience, I understand that, but you got to understand, man, we're thinking on a whole different level over here. And, you know, this getting caught up, that's exactly what they want you to do. They want you to get caught up in the figurehead, in the person. You know, I give a fuck about Alex Jones, really, and what he does, other than the fact that he is leading people under a false premise and has connections to a lot of big league players he claims to be against. That needs to be exposed. But, you know, whether or not, you know, Sitchin was a language expert or whether he wasn't has no bearing on why I chose to read this book on my radio broadcast and read it with you. I mean, if you don't want me to read it anymore, I won't. But I've made it clear, and I'm not going to say it again. I made it clear when I started the book. Go back and listen to the first shows that I did when I started reading this book. I made it clear before I read one word out of it. It was not an endorsement of his work. It was not of saying that I believe in it, that it's the gospel or anything else, but strictly that I wanted to read this because most people in the Truth and Patriot movement are going under the guise of this kind of stuff. They're saying, well, he wasn't a language scholar. That's all they ever say. He wasn't a language scholar and he made errors, blah, blah, blah. And so people just, okay, they take that at face value and they go with that. And they never look at the text themselves. Just like I talked about the body scanners the other night. The issue was never whether or not they were, you know, naked, not naked. That's not the issue. It's the scanners themselves. They unzip your DNA. Same thing here. The issue is that this information, these texts are real. These cylinder seals existed. Our military and special forces have gone to great lengths to make sure that you and I and the rest of the public never get our hands on them and see them or have a chance to interpret them for ourselves. And that's exactly what you're trying to do here again, sir. I'm sorry, you know, I felt that from your email last night. I addressed that and said, it's not about the person. It's about bringing this out in the court of public opinion because most people are just writing the Sumerian stuff off and never actually even reading what the stuff says. You're trying to do that again. This is not about Sitchin. I'm not going to make it a conversation. I could give a fuck about that guy. You want my honest opinion? I think he was a spook and a plant and a fed and an op and everything else. I wouldn't trust a guy as far as I can throw him. But that has nothing to do with the choice to read this on my show and attempt to bring me and you and the rest of our listening audience to a higher understanding about this stuff. That's what I do. That's my job. Yes, in the past, you know, somebody yesterday was, you know, trying to feed me some information about so-and-so, who, you know, may or may not have talked shit about me on the radio show. I need to make this a blanket thing. I just don't have time anymore, y'all, for that shit. I know it used to be great. You know, you'd come in the chat room and tell me so-and-so talked shit about me, and I'd get all rah, hopping mad about it, yelling, screaming. You know, I don't have the time or the energy for it anymore. People are going to say what they want to say, and with somebody in my position, they're going to make up what they want to make up. An attempt to defame you and make up lies about you and everything else. You know, I appreciate those of you who want to come and tell me when people do this, and you can still come and tell me when they do that. I don't mind. But what I'm saying is don't expect me to have a huge blow up reaction about it, or don't get mad at me when I don't have that reaction. Because I just honestly, you know, I just don't care anymore. It has nothing to do with the information. It has nothing to do with the task at hand. So I just, you know, I want to put that out there that I don't care. I don't have time for that. Same thing here. I don't have time for, you know, the only reason that I think I sort of for a long time sort of got this bad reputation for being somebody who just wants to, who is just somebody who just exposes all these, you know, individuals or people in the truth movement or whatever. It's really not me. If you think that that's all that encompasses me and who I am as a researcher and just somebody on the path trying to figure all this out, if that's all you think about me, man, you are sadly mistaken. I would never have ever even felt the need to expose anybody or anything had the information not been so damning and so overwhelming that I had no choice or felt I had no choice to come on air and start talking about this stuff if nobody else was going to. Somebody had to go first. It was me. I hear you, man. You know, I... I'm sorry. I just have no time anymore to get caught up on things that don't have to do with info or the work itself. It just all the time though, it's people are constantly trying to get me distracted by that stuff. It's just a constant fight to try to get me. They try to goad me into reacting to something. You know, they try to get me to, and I just don't have time for it, man. You don't have time for it either. So I don't know why you're wasting your own time, much less mine. But that's a big thing, you know. Let me worry about not wasting my own time. And you start worrying about not wasting your own time by, you know, some dick cheese on some fucking radio show that's got 10 listeners said something that may have referenced me. I went through all that shit when I was on Oracle. It was the same, you know, it was a big bunch of soap opera-ish bullshit that came about from a bunch of fucking radio hosts, Chatty Cathy types that fucking hadn't graduated from a seventh grade cafeteria. I mean, literally, you know, smile and act all cool to you and then, you know, talk shit behind your back and then, you know, it was just crazy shit. See if we had any other emails. Somebody keeps sending me an email saying, can you put descriptions on all your shows? Can you go back through all of your radio broadcasts you've ever done and put a description on them so we know what is in these shows? Man, I fly around this thing like a crazy person on most of these shows. I'll go between, you know, all kinds of crazy topics. We'll get into Sumerian alien porn and then we'll start talking about, you know, guys having sex with picnic tables. I mean, that was literally a news story we really had one time. I'm not kidding. Guy got filmed not once but twice by his neighbor sticking his pecker in his fucking, the umbrella hole on his table. But, you know, so I mean, I don't know what day we talked about the guy fucking his picnic table. I don't know what day we talked about the guy who got caught in the air conditioner vent in the museum and told the cops that he was a member of the American Illuminati trying to defuse a bomb and he was in the wrong building. They let him go. That's a real story. I don't know what day that came out. So the best thing I can tell you is Illuminated Scam, who makes our YouTube videos for us daily from the radio show, it does a pretty good job of cataloging those and telling you what's in those individual episodes. I suggest you just check that out. And go from there. I just don't have the time or the resources or the remembering of what I'm talking about every day to put a description. So to answer your question, can I put descriptions on my shows every day? No, I can't. Thanks. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, there was another email I had. Where did it go? Oh, here we go. This one says, hi, Josh, as a former Northeast Ohioan who has been living in Germany since 1978, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I just recently became aware of you due to your absolutely thrilling Red Ice interview, and the only thing I can say is wow. You are obviously an extremely aware person, versed in many, many concepts. As for myself, well, I lost my political virginity on 9/11, have been desperately searching for answers since then. I began with David Icke, was just a coincidence, if one believes in coincidences. His The Biggest Secret was handed to me. I first balked big time at the info, but in the meantime, I think, sadly, there might be some truth behind this, since I've read seven of his books, including the latest, and have yet to be disappointed. In the meantime, I have been voraciously devouring the works of Joseph Farrell, Peter Levenda, Graham Hancock, etc., just for starters. In any case, Josh, it is so very comforting to me that you seem to be on the exact same wavelength as all these greats, and then some. Please keep your tremendous work up. It is greatly appreciated, and I will continue to stay tuned. Larry in Freiburg, Germany. So thank you very much there for that email as well. Stephen up in Oklahoma sent me a asking, send me a link to some of the pictures of the Masonic temple in Guthrie, Oklahoma. Check out the link for some cool pics. Didn't you visit there? Did you take pics or movie footage for a prop for a project? Yeah, I did. We went up there in 2009 and I got a bunch of pictures, a bunch of really good pictures. And I want to go back. You just can't go during the summertime because there's no AC in the place. It's fucking, I keep it hot for the reptiles in there, I guess. But, it's an amazing place. And I got a bunch of pictures and I do plan on going back eventually to, let's say they let you take whatever pictures you want, whatever video you want. And, I plan on going back there to shoot some footage for a future project. Yeah. One of my films I'm going to do, that's either going to be about secret societies or it's going to have a part of a bigger film that's about secret societies. I haven't really decided yet. I've got a lot on the back burner as far as films go. I think that's all the emails we have tonight. Thanks to everybody who sent in emails. Let's get into some, let's get into this news, get through this news as fast as we can. Come back, get into Lost Book of Enki here tonight. Again, going to have to specify every time. Now, I am not reading the Lost Book of Enki because I think it is the fucking gospel. I'm reading it because I want you to research it for yourself, come to your own conclusions. If you come to the conclusion that it's crap and you don't believe in it, fine, great. Don't listen, tune out. But I just, it just seems like every time, everybody's, oh, well, this, that, and the other, Stitchin was a spook, blah, blah, blah. Okay, he was a spook, fine. That does not negate the fact that there's a huge moratorium on us getting our hands on these ancient Sumerian seals and cylinder seals and texts. That's the issue. And every time somebody wants to start talking about it, bring it back to an audience, it just seems like people start to get real nervous about that. What are you people afraid of? Oh, don't answer that. I know that. I know the answer. You know I know the answer. You're afraid of it because when people find out that it's true, the foundations of your power structure, religion, everything, all the power you've killed for is going to come crumbling down. And guess what? That's our plan. You know, I mean, you don't think I'm just getting up here every day to jerk off on a microphone for another reason, do you? No. I'm on a mission. Unbelievable stuff. Let's see what we got here. Well, you know, it seems that we've had all these lizard men in America and Loch Ness monsters showing up in Alaska. Seems to be a lot of talk in the news about sea monsters and this kind of stuff. I mean, really, are we heading towards a sea monster attack? Is that right around the corner? It wouldn't surprise me at this point. And yet again, here's another one. As a mysterious skeleton is washed up on a British beach, do sea monsters really exist? First zombies, now sea monsters. The Kraken. Release the fucking Kraken. Fucking Cthulhu or some shit. For centuries, they've been a part of maritime legend, inspiring curiosity and terror in equal measure. Lurking in the depths of the ocean, shocking in size and appearance, gigantic serpents and prehistoric monsters are as much a source of fascination as ever, especially in Hollywood. In the past 2 or 3 years alone, attacks by huge undersea beasts have provided the centerpiece battles at the ends of blockbusters such as Pirates of the Caribbean, Clash of the Titans, and The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. But are such tales of strange sea beasts more than mythology? Is there any evidence to suggest that some of these monsters of the watery deep, from Jules Verne's giant squid in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea to the legendary Kraken, a Leviathan sending sailors to their doom, might actually exist? Certainly, the study of the possible existence of sea monsters and other creatures of legend, known as cryptozoology, remains an area that captures the imagination of scientists and laymen alike. Last week, I took part in a major debate at the Zoological Society in London, at which I and my colleagues wondered whether there might be more to these stories than mere myth. Only this week, photographs emerged of the large carcass of an unidentified sea creature washed up on the beach near Aberdeen. Is the subject of fevered speculation, with some claiming it is a sea monster and others more sensibly saying it's a plain old pilot whale. It's not a pilot whale. It looks like some kind of eel, man. Further fueling the popular enthusiasm for sea monster lore, on Tuesday night, the Discovery Channel screened footage filmed by Alaskan fishermen of what appeared to be an immense sea creature, at least 30 feet long, with humps on its back breaking the surface of the ocean. Now, look at this thing. Let me drop a picture of this in the chat room for you guys. Now, I know that you, all of you in the chat room, and myself included, we may not have, you know, a degree in amphibious reptiles or whatever have you, but you might all agree with me. That ain't a fucking whale. I mean, come on, chat room. Are we all in agreement here? That ain't a fucking whale. Look at that goddamn thing.
It's the Kraken, motherfucker.
Oh, that's just... I don't know what's going on there. Given that previously unknown large marine animals continue to be discovered, the idea is far from outlandish. It's perfectly plausible that species of shark, rays, and whales still wait to be identified. And again, you know, they're showing this stuff on it's like aliens last year. Sea creatures and, you know, giant reptiles are the new UFOs, it seems. Are they conditioning us? Are they trying to get us ready for something? The appearance of large sea creatures. You guys remember, you see that hologram they did? It's on YouTube. You can type Japanese hologram sea monster, I think, into YouTube, and it's a holographic sea monster coming out of the water. Just trying to figure out what the fixation on this is all of a sudden. Yeah. Yeah, chat room says, yeah, not a fucking whale. I mean, come on. Oh, man, you guys hear about this one? Unbelievable. This is just,
Grover Norquist is a good guy. He spoke at Ron Paul's rally for the Republic.
Another CMP ass clown showing his balls in public. Norquist says letting tax cuts expire does not violate anti-tax pledge. Listen to this. A loophole in Americans for Tax Reform's anti-tax pledge may give the 235 House Republicans and 41 Senate Republicans who signed it away a way to raise revenues without breaking the rules. Pledge author Grover Norquist told the Washington Post editorial board that allowing the Bush-era tax cuts to expire would not violate the vow. Not continuing a tax cut is not technically a tax increase, Norquist said, so it doesn't violate the pledge. We would not hold it that way, he replied. So what he's saying is that if they let these Bush-era tax cuts go debunk and the taxes go up because they don't renew them, that's not technically a tax increase. Well, what is technically a tax increase, cocksucker? I mean, and see, this is the whole point of these CMP guys. They're there to make sure that they, you know, use lawyer speak and bend things back the direction to keep the phony left-right paradigm in place. And Norquist is an operator of that, just like his buddy Ron Paul is, and don't you ever think twice about it. Ron Paul's connected to the John Birch Society. He's connected to Louis Lehrman, the admitted Zionist, Sovereign Military Order of Malta member. He's connected all the way back to the priest class. He always speaks at Georgetown and all these Jesuit universities and Loyola. I mean, he's connected seven ways of Sunday to the Jesuits, folks. He's one of theirs. Unbelievable story on Norquist. We got to get that one up on the website, though. I mean, that's just... the audacity of these clowns, I tell you. Chinese military is developing electromagnetic pulse weapons that Beijing plans to use against U.S. aircraft carriers in any future conflict over Taiwan, according to an intelligence report made on Thursday. Portions of a National Ground Intelligence Center study on the lethal effects of electromagnetic pulse weapons, EMP, and high-powered microwave weapons revealed that the arms are part of China's so-called Assassin's Mace arsenal, weapons that allow a technologically inferior China to defeat U.S. military forces. EMP weapons mimic the gamma ray pulse caused by a nuclear blast that knocks out all electronics, including computers and automobiles. Over wide areas, the phenomena was discovered in 1962 after an above-ground nuclear test in the Pacific disabled electronics in Hawaii. The declassified intelligence report obtained by the private National Security Archive provides details on China's EMP weapons and plans for their use. Annual Pentagon reports on China's military in the past made only passing reference to the arms. For use against Taiwan, China could detonate as much as at a much lower altitude to confine the EMP effects to Taiwan and its immediate vicinity and minimize damage to electronics on the mainland. The report, produced in 2005 and once labeled secret, stated that Chinese military writings have discussed building low-yield EMP warheads. Yeah, I mean, but that's what they're going to do. The whole idea is to allow China to start making, you know, EMPs dirt cheap, you know, bootleg EMPs, knockoff EMPs, and they'll sell them to all, you know, just to create new tin pot dictators and things of that nature. I mean, this is all a ruse. The new, you know, they're bringing back the Red Threat. They're revitalizing it and, you know, creating the Cold War 2.0 just so they can continue military spending and continue their. It's all going to come crumbling down, folks. This is all going to come crumbling down around these clowns because their whole house of cards is built on a lie, and it's built on a restriction of knowledge. And so by the virtue of the fact that it's built on a house of cards, it can be brought down. And by nature of the way it's built, it will be brought down. You'll be able to rest assured every night knowing that, folks. That's for damn sure. Let's see what else we got here. British scientists say new expert body should be formed to regulate experiments mixing animal and human DNA to make sure no medical or ethical boundaries are crossed. Now, that's it. You know, it's kind of a sobering statement there. I love that. You know, because as you and I and probably everybody out there, if they don't already know, they should. We have been mixing animal and human DNA for a very long time. In fact, as we've been reading here in Lost Book of Inky, it appears that, you know, crossing animal and human DNA and all this has been going on for thousands of years on this planet. But it just, you know, the idea that we should form an expert body to regulate experiments of mixing animal and human DNA implies that there is not already an expert body regulating mixing animal and human DNA. That should be the story. Not British scientists say there should be an expert body created to regulate mixing animal and human DNA. That shouldn't be the story, but that's the story. No, buddy. The story is, you know, the headline should be, these assholes are just now asking for an expert body to regulate experiments mixing animal human DNA. That's what it should be. In a report issued on Friday, scientists at the nation's Academy of Medical Sciences said a government organization is needed to advise whether certain tests on animals that use human DNA should be pursued. Well, that tells you right there they're already pursuing it. Of course they are. They've been doing chimeras, creating chimeras for a long time. Spider goats, all this stuff. Spider goats, man. Crossing a spider's DNA with a goat so that it produces silk like these spiders do, and they create Kevlar out of it. That's a fact. I shit myself the first time I heard that shit. I was shaking my head, man. I was like, you know what? I'll believe a lot of crazy shit. But I am not for one fucking second going to believe that there is such a thing as fucking spider goats. And boys and girls, let me tell you, after I did the research and found out about spider goats, oh, my goodness. At that point, I was like, well, you know what? That pretty much seals the deal on it. I mean, if you can dream it, they got it. If you can think of a scheme or a crazy conspiracy, they probably already have done it or are working on doing it right now. Or no, my years of research have told me that. It's just insane. End of the Silicon Age. Researchers create the first artificial neural network out of DNA. Again, I just have problems with the, with all of these articles. It's hilarious. Now, from that last article to this one. Again, gotta call bullshit just on the title of the article alone. If you knew anything about anything, Bubba, who are the fuck you are, Mr. Scientist from Caltech? Well, let me tell you, 8 years, 10 years going to school and hundreds of thousands of dollars going to engineering school didn't teach you one thing. Did it, Mr. Degree at Caltech? Well, I bet Mr. GED over here can tell you the answer to that. I bet Mr. Plumber over here can probably tell you the answer to that. There's probably people from all walks of life who know the answer to this that don't have degrees. Or probably aren't very well educated. Because if you knew anything about anything, you'd know that our DNA is a neural network. So researchers creating the first artificial neural network out of DNA, why would you want to make an artificial one? Our DNA is a neural network. Scientists have taken a major step toward the creation of artificial intelligence, not in a robot or on a silicone chip, but in a test tube. Researchers at the California Institute of Technology have created a circuit of interacting molecules that can recall memories based on incomplete DNA patterns, just like the human brain. The brain is incredible, says Lulu Qian, a Caltech senior postdoctoral scholar in bioengineering. It allows us to recognize patterns of events, form memories, make decisions, and take actions. I tell you what, our DNA, it's a communication device. It's data. It's a hard drive. It's RAM. It has things encoded in and stored in it. It's a living biological computer system. Yes, of course it's a neural network. Of course our DNA can be communicated with. I see a lot of people from a lot of walks of life that probably don't have degrees know that. Because they've studied and they've researched, they've tried to gain a greater understanding on this stuff. You know, there's some things, a lot of things in life that can't be learned in a book or in a college or in one of these government training camps. It just is, and you just know it because you know it because it comes to you out of the ether, out of the clear blue. You know, sometimes things just come to you and you don't want know why you know them. Anybody, am I the only one that's had that happen? Surely not. All of you surely have had that happen to you. Sometimes and things will just come to you and you'll know something to be 100% true with really no information to back it up. And then you go and research it or find out the truth about it and boom, you were exactly right. And you don't know where that information came. It just intuited it. That's because it's the collective unconsciousness. Our bodies and both our physical and non-material bodies are built out of light and energy and they have data encoded in them. They can communicate with each other on levels beyond our physical plane of existence. Our DNA resonates and sings and communicates with other like-minded beings. Every time you interact with another human or an animal, this communication is going on. Well, again, you know, Mr. 8 years at bioengineering school is probably not going to tell you that because all he knows is what they're telling him in these government-controlled books. And then that's what becomes the standard. They put people out there whose job it is to reinforce the hierarchy. That's all science and religion and any of these fields are. They are all designed to create drones that in every action and thought and belief that they have and thing that they do, they reinforce the ideas and beliefs of the hierarchy. And if we don't stop acting like those are the people that know better than the people who don't have these phony degrees, we're never going to turn this thing around. And that's a big part of the problem right there, folks, is that we are allowing ourselves to be tricked into thinking that someone over here who has this piece of paper that they spent X amount of money on is somehow better off, smarter, more well endowed financially or whatever have you, just because they have the phony piece of paper that says that they successfully regurgitated the ideas of the hierarchy back to them in a sufficient way for X amount of time, and now they have a piece of paper they pay for to prove it. We got to get over that. There are millions of people on this planet who just couldn't do well in the government training camps, who were probably some of the brilliant, most brilliant minds, most brilliant thinkers, people probably who could change the world around in a day if they were put in a position to do it, but never will be because they are not playing and placating the game of the power structure itself. And that's got to end. But the only way it ends is if we do exactly what we're doing right now and bringing it out and talking about it and addressing the fact that it's a problem. Not enough of that going on. Well, we're going to leave it right there for now. We're going to take a break, come back. My puppy in the chat room says he learned more on his own than I ever did in school. Hear, hear, brother, me too. I think that's why you're here, why everybody's here. I think that's where we're all found each other, because we all did that. I think every person I've met or talked to that's found my show has been like that. All the people, my friends and loved ones and people around me are all like that. We're finding our tribe. The tribe is awakening. Now we're all finding each other because, you know, all those of us who were put down because of the way we are and treated like mutants, like, you know, fucking X-Men or something, now we're all starting to rise up and we're finding each other. And that's becoming a threat, and that's why they're, you know, trying to marginalize us. Period. End of story. But, we got to take a break, come back. I've got a specific song, and we're going to take a break, come back, get into Lost Book of Inky for you here tonight. This is The Global Reality, folks, on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm Josh Reeves. Stay with us. right, back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for staying up late with us tonight. We're going to be getting into Las Boca Inky here in this segment of the broadcast. Picking up where we left off last night, Tablet 8, page 180. For you here tonight on the show. And again, haven't said this tonight, but please support our broadcast. We don't, you know, those of you who are new listeners who have come on since we've had our show on Red Eyes. The first song was Metallica, of course, Call of Cthulhu, but the second song, the instrumental was, that was actually Megadeth, Dialectic Chaos, instrumental off of their last album, Endgame. So, yeah, that was was not. Kirk Hammett could never play a solo like that. You come on, be real here. But anyway, those who have just come on and started listening, we don't have commercials here. We don't try to sell you products or gold or water filters. We don't, you know, have our sponsor have to come up and interrupt the show every other day to tell you about his new product that's going to be to change your life, folks. You know, if you don't get this Hugo gold, you're going to a camp. That's just all there is to it. So those of you who just, you know, we don't have sponsors. We don't have any of that stuff. We're trying to get you buy stuff. Or anything else. We operate here just on the support of our listening audience. So we have a chipping banner there that's there for the month for the bills. We have a donate button that's there if you'd like to donate larger amounts to help us buy new equipment. We definitely are. I could make a list of the equipment I need. I need a computer, new camera. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Just take it to a new level. You know, about 10 grand worth of stuff. But, it's all there. You also have a PO box now. If you can't use PayPal, use that. And, we've been kind of slim on both. We haven't got anything into the PO box yet, even though we've had it up for over a week now. I'm just hoping it's not going to be like the phone lines where I was in fear of this. You know, I had to go spend the money out of my pocket to get the PO box. And then, you know, nobody's used it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But anyway, it's there. And that's how you support our work. And we do that in lieu of having commercials. So thank you very much. All right. So this is where we left off last night. I'm going to read the last two sentences here so we have a context where we're starting at tonight. What is the matter? What transpired on Nibiru? Ningajita was inquiring of Enki. Let Ninma 2 be summoned and let us hear of what transpired from her, Enki said to him. After Ninma arrived, she told all to Enlil and Ningajita. She also related Enki's cohabitation with earthling females. No rules I have broken. Our satiation I have ensured. So Enki said to them, no rules did you break. The fates of Anunnaki and earthlings by a rash deed you determined. So did Enlil in anger say, now the lot is cast. Destiny by fate is overtaken. With fury, Enlil was seized. With anger, he turned and left them standing. To Eridu, Marduk came, and his mother, Demkia, was summoned. The odd goings-on to verify of his father and brother, he demanded. He decided to keep the hidden secret from Marduk, and Anu by the civilized man was very enthralled. He commanded all at Earth on once to be satiated. So they only revealed part of the truth to Marduk. By Adapa and Titi, Marduk was impressed. He took a liking to the boys. While Ningajita was instructing Adapa, he said, let me be the boy's teacher. So Marduk did say to his father Enki and to Enlil, let Marduk teach one and let Ninurta teach the other. To them, Enlil responded. In Eridu, Ningajita with Adapa and Titi stayed. Numbers and writing Adapa he taught. The twin who was first born in Ninurta to Bad Tibiara, his city took Cain. He who in the field grows food, he is called. To dig waters for canals, we taught him. Sowing and reaping, he was taught. Now, this is the explanation as to why the Sumerians had literally overnight a perfect functioning society with agriculture and water and sewage and an economy and a government that were made up of the priests. They had it in one fell swoop. They had it overnight and disappeared overnight. A plow from the wood of trees, Ninurta made for Cain. And he made it to be a tiller of the land. The other brother, son of Adapa, was taken to the meadows by Marduk. Abel, he of the watered meadows, was his name after that. How to build stalls, Marduk taught him, for shepherding to start. The return of Dumuzi they awaited. When the Shar was completed, the Nibiru year, Dumuzi returned to earth. The essence seed of sheep for the growing of with him he brought. He also brought four-legged animals of Nibiru to another planet, to the earth. He conveyed his return with essence seed was cause for much celebration. So right there, there's admits that they're bringing, animal species to earth for food purposes. Into the care of his father, Enki, Dumuzi was returned his precarious cargo. The leaders then got together and considered how to proceed with the new breed. Never before was there a new ewe on earth. A lamb has never from earth or from the heavens been brought to earth and dropped. A she-goat has never before to her kid given birth. Here's my question. Does this finally answer? I think it does. Does this finally answer the whole conundrum of which came first, the chicken or the egg? I think it does. I think the chicken was brought here for food purposes by the Anunnaki. That's why we don't know which came first, right? Well, maybe not. I don't know. But it sounds good. And, maybe the next time somebody says, hey, man, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Derp-a-derp-a-derp. Just go. It was brought here by a fucking Anunnaki seed from the fucking planet Nibiru. Next. Some smart-ass shit like that, Next. Anunnaki food brought here from Nibiru. Next. Weaving of sheep's wool has never before been established. The Anunnaki leaders, Enlil and Enki, Ninma and Ningazita, were the creators. A creation chamber, a house of fashioning, they decided to establish. Upon the pure mound of the landing place in the Cedar Mountains, it was established. Near where the elixir seeds by Ninma were brought and planted there was the creation chamber established. There was the multiplying of the grains and the ewes on earth had begun. Of Cain for sowing and reaping, Ninurta was the mentor. Of Abel, the arts of ewe and lamb rearing and shepherding, Marduk was the mentor. When the first crops were reaped, when the first sheep matured, let there be a celebration of firsts, Enlil a decree proclaimed. See, this is where you start getting into the tradition of first, May Day, May 1st, blah, blah, blah. Oh, and yet another tradition. Before the assembled Anunnaki, the first grains and first lambs were presented. At the feet of Enlil and Enki, Ninurta guided Cain for him to place his offering. At the feet of Enlil and Enki, Abel, guided by Marduk, placed his offering. Enlil to the brothers gave a joyful blessing. Their labors he extolled. Enki, his son Marduk, embraced. The lamb for all to see he raised, meat for eating, wool for wearing. To the earth have come, Enki said. Now this is the account of the generations of Adapa. And we know Adapa was the first, just to clarify who Adapa is, Adapa was the first boy, the first male born of the
Hey, this is Inky. I'm here on Little Reality. I've come back to tell you. Oh, that sweet earth pussy. It's so good, baby. I can't resist. Oh, yeah. I'm back.
Oh, Inky. But yeah. So he was the first result of little hanky panky alien sex going on where, you know, Inky decides to get break him off of dip his spoon in the pudding for one more go, you know. And he's the result of that. Now this is the account of the generations of Adapa and the killing of Abel by Cain and what thereafter transpired. After the celebration of first was over, there was a sullen look on Cain's face. By the lack of Inky's blessing, he was greatly aggrieved. As to their tasks, the brothers returned to them, and Abel was boasting before his brother. I am the one who brings abundance. I am the one who satiates the Anunnaki. I am he who gives strength to the heroes, who wool for their clothing provides. Cain, by his brother's words, was offended. To his boasting, he strongly objected. It is I who the plains luxuriates, whose furrows with grains makes heavy, in whose fields birds multiply, in whose canal fish become abundant. Sustaining bread by me is produced. With fish and fowl, the Anunnaki's diet, I variate. On and on, the twin brothers, each other disputed. Through the wintertime, they argued. When summer began and it was not raining and the meadows were dry, the pastures dwindled. Into the fields of his brother, Abel drove his flocks from the furrows and the canals to drink water. Cain was angered by this. He commanded his brother to move the flocks away. Farmer and shepherd, brother and brother, words of accusation were uttered. They spat on each other, and they fought each other with their fists. Greatly enraged, Cain picked up a stone and struck Abel in the head with it. Again and again, he hit him until Abel fell. His blood was from him was gushing. Oh, yeah, Cain and Abel, they always, yeah, they really should. Yeah, this motherfucker's, you know. He's stoning this bitch to death. Bam, take that. You like that? That's more where that come from. Huh? Take that. He's just not stopping on him. He's going nuts. Blood was gushing from him. When Cain saw his brother's blood, he shouted, Abel, my brother. Motionless on the ground, Abel remained. Yeah, you beat his fucking brains into oblivion with a rock, dude. He ain't getting up from that. From him, his soul had departed. By the brother whom he had killed, Cain remained, and for a long time he sat crying. It was Titi who was shown of the killing first by a premonition. In a dream vision, as she was sleeping, she saw Abel's blood in the hand of Cain. She awakened Adapa from his sleep, and she told him her dream vision. A heavy sorrow fills my heart. Did something terrifying happen? So Titi did say to Adapa, greatly agitated she was. In the morning, the two from Eridu departed. To the whereabouts of Cain and Abel they went. In the field they found Cain. By the dead Abel, he was still seated. A great cry of agony, Titi shouted. Adapa spread mud on his head. What have you done? What have you done? To Cain, they shouted. Silence was Cain's answer. To the ground, he threw himself and wept. Adapa returned to Eridu City, and he told what had happened to the Lord Enki. Enki confronted Cain with a fury. Accursed you shall be, he said to him. From the Eden you must depart. Among Anunnaki and civilized earthlings, you shall not stay. As to Abel in the fields, his body cannot for the wild birds remain. As the Anunnaki custom is, he in a grave below a stone pile shall be buried. How Abel to bury Enki to Adapa and Titi show, for the custom was not known to them. For 30 days and 30 nights, Abel was mourned by his parents. To Eridu for judgment, Cain was brought. The exile sentence to pronounce, Enki wished. For his deed, Cain himself must be slain, so Marduk said with anger. Let the seven who judge be assembled. So did Ninurta, mentor of Cain, say. Whoever heard of such an assembling, Marduk shouted. That for one not from Nibiru, Anunnaki leaders shall be called to judge? Is it not enough that one by Ninurta mentored the one by me and that was favored has been killed? Is it not that as Ninurta and Anzu did vanquish, so did Cain in against his brother rise? Like the fate of Anzu, Cain's fate should be. His life breath should be extinguished. Marduk said in anger to Enki, Enlil, and Ninurta. Ninurta was saddened by the words of Marduk. She sat with silence. Let me with Marduk my son's words have words in private with my son to them, Enki said. He went into private chambers with Marduk. My son, to Marduk, Enki softly spoke. Your agony is great. Let us not agony with agony compound. A secret that is on my heart has heavily emburdened me, and let me tell it to you. Once upon a time, as by the river I strolled, the two earthling maidens caught my fancy.
Bow, chicka, bow, chicka, bow, chicka, bow, bow.
By them from my seed were Adapa and Titi conceived. Yeah, I mean, according to this guy, he's pouring just, you know, he's just walking around with just pitchers full of sperm, and he just walks over to some girls, spread them. And he just like poured, because that's what it says, poured his semen into her. He just, you know, hey, what's going on? Oh, it's just a pitcher of semen. Would you like if I poured some in you? Oh, we could create a new species. It'd be great. Come on. Here you go. I wouldn't suggest trying that at the bars, though, guys. There was always that one guy that would, everybody's known this guy. Everybody should know this guy, and everybody's known somebody like this, guaranteed. This guy, he would go up to every single chick at the bar and go, and just straight up, just out of the blue, walk up to him and go, hey, you want to fuck? And he'd get slapped and kicked in the nuts, and he'd just keep going back for more, dude. Hey, you want to fuck? Get out of my face, creep. Hey, you want to fuck? And eventually, at the end of the night, you know, you'd see him throwing up the deuces, dude, you know, going out to the parking lot with some chick. Because eventually, he got to one, and eventually, one said yes. Oh, man. So, a new kind of earthling, a civilized man, was brought upon Earth. Whether they procreate or were able to or not, Anu was in doubt. By the birth of Cain and Abel, the council on Nibiru and Anu were convinced. A new phase of the Anunnaki presence on this planet was welcomed and approved. Now that Abel has been slain, and if Cain too shall be extinguished, satiation will come to an end, and mutinies will be repeated. All that was achieved shall crumble. No wonder that you took a liking to Abel, the son of your half-brother he was. Now on the other one, have pity. Let the line of Adapa survive. So did Enki with sadness reveal the secret to his son Marduk. By the revelation, Marduk was at first astounded, and then he was overcome by laughter. Of your lovemaking prowess, it was much rumored to me. Now of that, I am convinced. That's too funny. Marduk's like, man, I heard you were a fucking pimp, dude, but damn, after that. To try to convince me, shit. I mean, you created these fucking humans out of nothing, and then you went and fucked not one, but two of them at the same time? You are a fucking pimp, Dad. Fuck! Indeed, let Cain's life be spared. To the ends of the earth, let him be banished. So did Marduk, from anger to laughter, change to his father. He said, in Eridu, judgment upon Cain by Enki was pronounced. Eastward to a land of wandering for his evil deed, Cain must depart. That his life must be spared, that he and his generation shall be distinguished. By Ningazita, the life essence of Cain was altered. That his face, a beard, should not grow, Cain's life essence, Ningazita, changed. With his sister Awan as a spouse, Cain from the Eden departed. To the land of wandering, he set his course. Now, the Anunnaki sat among themselves and wondered, without Abel, without Cain, who shall for us grow the grains and make the bread? Who shall be the shepherd and multiply the flocks? Who will provide wool for the clothing? Let there be more proliferation by Adapa and Titi, so the Anunnaki did say. With the blessing of Enki, Adapa, his spouse Titi, knew again and again, one daughter, another daughter, each time and again were born. In the 95th Shar, a son Adapa and Titi finally had. Sati, he who life binds again, Titi him named, and by him were the generations of Adapa counted. In all, 30 sons and 30 daughters Adapa and Titi had. Of them tillers of the land and shepherds for the Anunnaki, they toiled. By them did satiation to the Anunnaki and civilized earth beings come back. In the 97th Shar, to Sati, a son by his spouse Azira was born. And we're going to leave off right there for tonight. Page 187.
187, motherfucker.
187, that's where we're going to pick up next time on the broadcast. And, well, it's just, again, getting more and more interesting. So many different correlations, so many great connections, so many things that, you know, again, this is why people get so mad at even reading this stuff and putting it out there in the court of public opinion, because, you know, it shows that what was put in the Bible and the narrative we're told about the Bible is simply a false narrative. And that we should be given the whole story on the true history of mankind, who we are, where we came from, who these quote-unquote gods really are and were. And to me, that's the fight. That's what we continue to have to push forward to try and find out among all the other things. You know, all this other stuff is kind of secondary to that, but still important nonetheless. Again, please support our work at theglobalreality.com. Shipping banner, donate button there, you know. Thanks to everybody who has supported us. We need anything we can get right now, so please donate if you can. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you. We'll see you next time for the broadcast. You guys have a great night. Take care.